tshuva utefila utzedaka ma'avirin es roa hagzera. On the one hand, this is familiar to us. There'll be moments, high points in our tefila over the next few weeks in which we'll call this out. It certainly should be on our minds throughout this period of tshuva and tefila and Yavim Narayim. And at the same time, like so often is the case, the more familiar something is to us, the less we tend to think about it. And it's always struck me that there should be a common denominator between these three things. It's possible that these are just three randomly potent forces that can help us achieve the type of Gzar Din that we want, but it certainly would be more attractive to assume that there's some common denominator. And what I'd like to suggest is that the common thread, the common denominator between these three things, tzedakah, tshuva, and tefillah, is actually the focus on tzibur, on the role of the tzibur in our relationship with other people. Obviously, I think when it comes to tzedakah, that is the most self-evident. Tzedakah requires us, just by definition, to see beyond ourselves, beyond our own needs. There's no one who doesn't need something. There's almost no one who couldn't use whatever money they're considering giving away for themselves. And there are some people who have even more money than they could spend in a lifetime. But it's an incredibly small fraction of people. Even people that you and I tend to think of as affluent and well-off could use the money. And yet, to give it away requires them to think of someone else and someone else's needs above and beyond even more than their own. So maybe that's the most obvious. But I'd like to suggest, and certainly, obviously, before Slichos, this is the two that are even most intensively going to be and directly going to be our focus in this evening, that tshuva and tefillah are also things which are focused on and highlight, certainly if we want to make them potent in the way of being ma'avirin es roa hagzera, also focus on the needs of others and connecting to the tzibur. If we think about tefillah for a moment, there are many, many sources that highlight the potency of davening being part of a tzibur, how our davening is different when we're part of a tzibur. Just to give one example, the Medrash in Dvarim Rabbah is discussing the pasuk in Tehillim, V'ani tefilasi lecha Hashem eis ratzon. And the Gemara, obviously, the Medrash Chazal understand in the pasuk itself, eis ratzon implies that there must be some times which are ratzon, some times which are closer to Hashem, it's better to daven, more effective to daven, and there are other times that there may not be. And the Medrash immediately asked this question, what does this mean? What's going on? What is being implied? And the first opinion right away in the Medrash is, in fact, yes. Omer lo, shari tefillah, pamayim psuchim, upamayim ne'ulim. There are times in which the shari tefillah are na'ul, that there are times when the gates of tefillah are locked, and the only there is nothing really that one can do. The Medrash then questions this and analyzes this, and perhaps contrasts this with tshuva, which we'll get to in a few minutes. But the continuation of the Medrash quotes a second opinion. Dover Acher, what does Eis Ratzon imply? Not that we look at every one on the same level and that the distinction is just between times. Rather, says the Medrash, David HaMelech, when he was saying this, "Vani tefilasi l'cha Hashem eis ratzon," David b'shvil shahaya yichidi amar eis ratzon. That's only because David, as great as he was an individual. So for an individual, yes, there is this idea. Sometimes there's an eis ratzon, and sometimes, unfortunately, we're in a less receptive. We get a less receptive audience from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Aval tefilasan shalat tzibur, says the Medrash, "Eina chozeres la'olam reikam." To be part of a tzibur, to daven as part of a tzibur, exponentially increases the power and the potency of your tefillah. Even a David HaMelech, we can't even imagine what it would be like to daven as a David HaMelech. But even if we were, David HaMelech as an individual is limited to the times of Eis Ratzon. However, when it comes to the tzibur, when it comes to the community, then there is no such thing. The Olam Eino Chozeres Reikam. Perhaps in this medrash, other Mamari Chazal, perhaps they're well known or at least familiar, the concept to us, because obviously the idea of Tefillah B'Tzibur is something we're familiar with. I think tshuva as a tzibur idea is perhaps the most novel of the three. If tzedakah by definition requires other people, tefillah we know from one makor and many others, expands our consciousness in terms of being part of a tzibur for effectiveness. But tshuva we tend to think of, and I think for obvious and correct reasons, tshuva we tend to think of as something being very personal and very intimate. And there are actually discussions in halacha of Hilchos Tshuva, to what extent is vidui public, to what extent is vidui private. And of course, we know that there's part of our vidui which is very public. But the truth is that we're not speaking too personally in those moments. We're speaking in general platitudes, but certain private things or intimate things are supposed to be private. In fact, the Gemara talks about certain types of averos, dafka, you know, when I'm lamakam averos, it would almost be disrespectful and cavalier to discuss them publicly. So in what sense, if we're going to maintain this thesis, that the common thread of tshuva, tefillah, tzedakah, ma'avir nesro ha'gzera, that the common thread is the larger community and our connection, how do you see that? Or what role would the tzibor dafka play in my personal failings and my personal and presumably uniquely personal and intimate need for rehabilitation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? But in fact, in general and specifically for the tshuva this time of year, we do see Chazal emphasizing the importance and the significance of being part of a tzibor. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Bet tells us the following. Amar of Shmuel Bar Ina Mishmei Derav Minayin Ligzardin Shel Tzibor She'eno Nechtam. Right? The initial assumption of the Gemara is that no matter how difficult and painful the Gzardin of the Tzibor is, it will never be Nechtam. It's never going to be sealed, so to speak. Meaning it can never be not undone. It can always be undone. So the Gemara says, really, Eino Nechtam? And it quotes a pasuk that seems to imply, no, that even the Tzibor, sometimes too late is too late. Even the Tzibor can sometimes have its Gzar Din sealed. So the Gemara says, well, you're right. In fact, let me clarify this. Ela afal gav shenechtam nikra. In fact, even though it has been sealed, but unlike an individual who once they get to that point, right, then it is simply too late. When the buzzer sounds, it is too late. When it comes to the tzibur, there is no buzzer. There is no buzzer. No matter how late we feel it is in the game, even if the gzar din has been neftam, chas v'shalom l'ra, a tzibur can always have their gzar din undone. The Gemara says, how do we know this? Because the apostle says, shenemar, kashem elokeinu, b'chol koreinu elav. B'chol koreinu elav. No matter when, no matter how often, or what the circumstances are, b'chol koreinu elav. Whenever we call out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, elav, he'll be to us, he's close to us, the tzibur can do that. So the Gemara right away asks, is that really true? But what about the pasuk of this time of year, most specifically about Asaras Meitshuva, but perhaps, you know, broadly about the whole time of year? V'hochziv dirshu Hashem behim atzo. You should call out to Hashem behim atzo when he's found. And obviously the implication of the pasuk there is that there are times that he's found, and there are other times not. Just like the same kind of duality that we saw in the Medrash about Eis Ratzon. Sometimes he's Ratzon, sometimes he's not. So Behimotso implies that sometimes Hashem is close and sometimes he's not. So the Gemara answers, Hasam b'yachid, hacha b'tzibor. That in fact, yes, there are special times of the year. Special times of the year which are b'oso karov, where even the individual can get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And as the Gemara goes on to say, what are those days? Specifically are the days of Aseres Yemei Tshuva, which at least in Halacha has already a certain category. It's in the Gemara, the Rambam brings it down. We know in Machshava, certainly in more recent centuries, it's hard to find strong indications off the top of my head in Chazal about the role of Elul. But certainly in more recent centuries, obviously in the world of the yeshivas, Elul takes on an outsized importance. But already, even in the time of Sifrei Chassidus, we know the Baal HaTanya coined the very famous phrase, HaMelech Basadeh, that there's a certain kurva that we feel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu this time of year, that Hashem is, so to speak, out. Right, if the king is in the palace, so then there's a protocol, and there's certain visiting hours, only times you could come, and you get whisked off very quickly. Maybe there'll be another opportunity for me to share the story. Forgive me, I'm not gratuitously name-dropping. But 16 years ago, my wife and I were invited to the White House. I mean, we did get our minute, maybe, because I talk a lot, so I got a minute out of it. Alone, you know, alone meaning with all the advisors and the, you know, security people around them. But we did get our minute alone with the president and the first lady. So if you're lucky and you get invited and there's all these halachos and protocols, then maybe you get a minute. Right? That's usual. But sometimes Hashem is karov. Sometimes it's Eitz Ratzon. Sometimes HaMelech Basadeh, the king is just walking around. If you just see him on the street, you can talk to him. So all of that is true. The fact that usually he's far, usually it's difficult, usually there are rules, and sometimes, rarely, but sometimes it's close, it's intimate, it's informal. That's all true, says the Gemara, for an individual, for a yachid. But in essence, what the Gemara says is, for a tzibur, the whole year is a Aseres Yemei Tshuva. The whole year is, if a tzibur has a din of a Aseres Yemei Tshuva throughout the year. And therefore, just like the Gemara had originally said, only a tzibur has the ability to be korea gzar din that was once nechtam, even though Nebuchadnezzar, the gzar din, the terrible, whatever it is, that we're affliction, that we're worried about, may have been even sealed. It wasn't just a havamin of Hashem, but it's been signed and sealed. A tzibur maybe not be able to undo that, says the Gemara, excuse me, a yachid, but a tzibur throughout the year has the power that a yachid has in Aseres Yemei Tshuva. A tzibur has not only in Aseres Yemei Tshuva, but throughout the year. You can only imagine, therefore, one in one clearly equals two in this case. If you're part of a tzibur this time of year, so that's, of course, doubly potent for having our sins forgiven and for sheaving real tshuva shalema. I'm reminded of a story. I assume it's not really a story that happened, but you know, a lot of the most true stories are not necessarily the ones that actually happened. Of the university student who came in for the big final, and as often is the case now, you know, it's already beneath the teachers and the professors to actually be there for the test. So there was a proctor who they'd never seen before, who comes, you know, is managing the rules and the amount of time that the people have, etc., for the test. And a teacher announces, you know, the proctor announces, I don't know, let's say by 11 o'clock, that you have to finish, pencils on the table, you know, gives a 10-minute warning, gives a 5-minute warning, and then says, you know, it's 11, you know, if I see anyone with a pencil in their hands, you know, they're going to be disqualified, automatic failure, you know, pencils down now. And of course, this one guy is writing and writing and writing, and he's scrambling, and he's pressured, he's still writing, and everyone's going to hand in the papers, and of course the proctor notices there's one person still sitting there and he's still writing, and she already yells at him and says, you know, I made it clear at the beginning of the test, I made it the 10-minute warning, the 5-minute warning, I said, after the announcement, the pencil's down, no tests will be accepted. So finally, you know, makes his way up there, and she's furious at this chutzpah that the person has, and she's like waiting for him to like cower and beg for mercy. And surprisingly, he takes that opposite approach. And he says to this first, you know, to the proctor, do you know who I am? She says, no. Do you know my name? No. Do you even know who my father is? And she's like, I don't know who you are, I don't know who your father is, and I don't care. So he says, you're sure? You don't know who I am, you don't know who my father is, and you don't know who I am. She says, no. He says, great. Takes the test, stoops it in the middle of the pile, and runs out and says, have a good day. Sometimes it's good to be part of a tzibur. When the spotlight is just on us, so then there's a gzar din, and sometimes we won't meet up. But if we can get our test right in the middle of the pile and kind of get lost in the pile of the tests, sometimes that's the greatest thing we have going for us. To be part of a tzibur is a special koach when it comes to tshuva. It's not only about us, though. It's also about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We know that the primary, dominant theme of Rosh Hashanah is to be Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? That's actually the main theme. We don't even speak so much about tshuva, if at all. On Rosh Hashanah, that's more the Aseres Yemei Tshuva and Yom Kippur. But obviously, a big theme, especially on Rosh Hashanah in this time of year, is that of the coronation of accepting HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the Melech Malchei HaMelechim, and something that's much harder than that, of course, is accepting Him as the Melech of our lives. In Kelum, we have this in the writings of the altar of Kelum. In Kelum, they used to hang up a petek, a sign in the Beis Medrash throughout Elul. And I actually have a copy of the Nusach. We have it. It's in what's called Pinkas HaKabbalot of Kelm, which the Saba of Kelm, the Altar of Kelm, includes in his writings. And I'll just read the opening, the key point here. It's called Ha'ara No Ra'ah. That was like the title of this. And he describes how, since we know that the theme of Rosh Hashanah is Malchios, therefore he says, Im Kain Achdus Ha'avodim Hu Kiyum HaMalchos. It's a sheker, said the Altar of Kelm, to pretend that we're being mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu if we're not with ba'achdus with each other. Because what makes the king great is that he has a nation, a unified nation. If we're just a bunch of individuals, then that's not a king. Right? That's maybe a tyrant or probably just a psychopath. Right? But to actually have a king in a malchus requires an am, a melech below am. Well, what makes us a am? Only if we're ba'achdus with each other under the rule of that leader. And therefore he goes on and talks about, if chas v'shalom avon b'yedenu shal sinas habrios, eich lo nevosh v'lo nikaleim lios dover shkarim chas v'shalom l'fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu levakesh melocha kol olam kulo b'chvodecha, if anachnu la'atzmeinu lo hichinu ikar kiyum shal malchus shamayim aleinu b'tokvo. The Iker, says this Altar of Kelm, of being Mamlech of Kadosh Baruch Hu, step one and two, is to look at each other and feel that we're truly part of a tzibur, that we're in it together, that we're really ba'achdus. Then we could turn to Kadosh Baruch Hu and say, this group that's ba'achdus, we accept you as our melech. But if there's divisiveness, if there's pettiness, if all sorts of other things, if we're not truly megubash, if we're not truly a tzibur, then it's just a joke to pretend. You could put on the kittel, you could put on the white clothing, you could say all the fancy things you want. But without the genuine achdus, there's no chance for tshuva, because there's also no chance for malchus. So I want to end with one final point, which is, if we see that obviously not only for tzedakah, but also for tefillah, and also for tshuva, to be part of a tzibur, to have a certain amount of achdus, is critical, so it really begs the question, what makes a tzibur? What makes a tzibur? Right? This is obviously not an irrelevant question in a new neighborhood, with a new shul, our first time gathering in a moment like this for slichos, and perhaps it needs multiple shurim or lengthy discussions, but one brief thought before we begin the slichos, is that if you go back to that Gemara, the same Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, in the continuation, it actually asks the question, how could you say that the tzibur is so potent? It quotes from Tehillim Mizmor Kuv Zayin, which speaks about the Yordei Hayam, the sailors. And we know that to be a sailor is not the safest thing even nowadays, but certainly in the ancient world, every time you got on a ship was considered literal, pikuach nefashos, and it's always the metaphor in Chazal, but even in Tanakh, for something that's of danger. And the psukim there in Tehillim Kuf Zayin speak about how the sailors call out in crisis because they're scared, the waves, the ship is rocking, and sometimes they're answered and sometimes they're not. And the Gemara asks, how could it be? You just said that it's tzibur, ein tfilos nashel tzibur chozer reikam, and it's never nechtam for the tzibur. And yet, the psukim themselves in Tehillim say about the Yardei Hayam that sometimes the sailors are answered, sometimes they're not. So the Gemara answers very enigmatically, Yardei Hayam ki yechidim hem. The boat, the whole ship, there were 10 sailors, there were 20 sailors, there was 100 sailors, but it's clear from the Gemara we're not talking about a little sailboat with one guy. Yardei Hayam, all these sailors, but you're right, sometimes they were answered, sometimes they weren't, because they have a status, ki yechidim hem. Okay, but you could say it, but it doesn't make any sense. In what sense? Why should that be? And if you look at some of the mafarshim on the Gemara, there's an etziv, they kind of say things, but you're just left scratching your head. It doesn't seem to really get to the kishkas of it. What is the Gemara talking about? So the Shem Yishmuel, the Sakhachov of Rebbe in Bamidbar, in Sefer Bamidbar, he gets to the point so profoundly, so beautiful. He says, lots of people does not necessarily a tzibur make. A tzibur versus a yachid is not about how many people are in the room. You could have 1,000 people in the room, you could have 40 people in the room, it could be all a bunch of yachidim. That was what was happening. But why? Because what a tzibur means, when they come together for davening, they're not only davening for themselves, but they're davening for each other. I'm part of a tzibur, and I know that my neighbor struggling with parnasa, so I'm going to include him or her in my tefillos also. I know that my neighbor looking for a shidduch for a child, I'm going to include that in my tefillah. I know that my neighbor, one of the children, is having difficulty in school, or other such things, etc., etc., etc. If you really know what's going on with the people around you, and that's part of your tefillah, says the Shem Yishmuel, that is what makes it tzibur. The Yor de Hayam, we're all davening. Can't even imagine how much kavana they had as the ship was rocking back and forth in the waves. But what were they davening for, says the Shem Yishmuel? That they should be saved. That their own lives should be saved. They weren't davening for the sailor next to them who was a stranger who they just met at the port. You know, because each one was grabbing a job. They didn't care about each other. They just happened to have a job together. Then that's not a tzibur. But when they come together, when they're genuinely saying, please Hashem, save the ship. Not only because of me. But because this guy over here, I know that right before they went on the trip, he just had a baby. There's somebody waiting for him at home. Can you imagine? If you daven not only for yourself, but for each other. That tzibur makes. So we're about to begin slichos and begin the slichos season, which is physically very, very demanding. Lots of lack of sleep over the next few weeks. Lots of time together in shul. Hopefully the more time together will breed more camaraderie. Not the opposite, chas v'shalom. But look around. What it means to be part of a new community. What it means to be part of a community. It's not just who your neighbors are and who shares vod bayit with you, etc., etc. Those are all details. What it means to be truly part of a community is to care about each other, to be genuinely pained when other people are in pain, to be genuinely happy when other people are happy, and especially at this time of year where we have so much riding on our tefillos, so much riding on our tshuva, so much significance from where we choose to give whatever tzedakah dollars that we have to give. There's so much riding on it. And yet we see clear, if we want to be ma'avirinus, the Roach Zera, if all of us want the shana, tovu, metuka, that we're all dreaming about for ourselves, for our children, the key in all three elements is to truly harness the power of tzibur, which requires genuinely opening up of our hearts, looking around, seeing who's with us, seeing who's near us, bringing their issues and their concerns and the best for everyone, not just for yourself, but wanting the best for everyone. If we bring that into our tefillah, into our tshuva, into our tzedakah, then Emir Tzashem, the tefillos will be makabel, the tshuva will be makabel, and Emir Tzashem, all of us, hopefully, will be benched with the shana tova, umetuka, shana tova to one and all.